Blog Talk Radio.
Good play.
Good evening, everyone, on this February 1st, the day before Groundhog Day. And, of course, February, if you don't know, and you should, is Black History Month. And so Deviant Legion and ISF Films, Facebook group, not films, sorry. It's Incredibly Strange Films, but it's a Facebook group. We are very happy to initiate our Black History Month 2022 with a watch of one of my one of John Killian's, who is with me today. Say hello, John.
Hello.
And of course, John can be found on XP Planets, and he's been with us a number of times. But this is one of your favorite films, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that it is. As many of you who have listened to me at this point know, I am actually not that much of a fan of comedies. They don't really speak to me all that much. But as we were just saying before we transition into the show, Black Dynamite kind of transcends comedy and satire and spoof and evolves into a true homage and a love letter to like the classic hardcore blaxploitation films of the late 60s and early 70s. And so, yeah, I have been obsessed with this movie since the second that I saw it. And yes, you were right. You can catch me over at XD Planets for all your spooky stuff. But tonight, Carl, we have another friend joining us and a very old friend of mine, which I'm very glad to have here. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks for having me.
So, Sean, tell us your name and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, my name is Sean Boseda, from a small town originally called Vidalia, Louisiana. And I've been in the movie industry for 23 plus years. I've been having a few movies I'm trying to get produced right now. I've probably been everything in the movie industry from actor to writer to the PA. And now I'm just trying to produce my own grindhouse and B movies.
Right.
Well, we're very, very happy to have you. And at the end of the show, we'll give you a chance to really push any websites or any of the films that you've done and where we can watch them and all that sort of good stuff. So Sean,
right,
what's your knowledge of Black Dynamite? And do you want to talk about it a little bit before we start?
Black Dynamite, I guess it's based on the same thing John said when I first saw the movie. I thought it was going to be a comedy, but it definitely was an homage and to pay respects to the blaxploitation movies. It's definitely different from what the movies is. It just pays like a love letter to the movies, basically. And it has comedy in it, but it definitely has a lot of satire in it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And they do it just right. And say it again?
No, go ahead. Keep going, Sean.
Yeah, and also Michael John White just nails the role because he's always played this action guy at the time. So I think he had a great time bringing his character to life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So Michael John White, which we'll talk about during the film, actually co-wrote this with the director, Scott Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make a point that this is certainly a parody of blaxploitation, but as I was talking to John earlier this week, you know, there are blaxploitation films like Shaft, and those are the A films. Then you got the Rudy Ray Moore, and then you get Velvet Smooth and Abar the Black Superman. Now, I love blaxploitation. I grew up they were on HBO a lot during the 70s. We were a test market and just fell in love with blaxploitation. And, of course, a big Pam Grier fan. I've got stories about that, too. This is really a parody of the Grade B and Grade C films. And you'll see shots of the boom mic and things like that. And they do it purposely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. you know, part of my favorite.
So the character is certainly based on Shaft and on the A-list, you know, blaxploitations that we know, but it's also a real nod to those lesser known, more crazy, more insane grade B and grade C films,
that they made to technically reproduce it, like using the same types of cameras, using like actual film, they went to great lengths to recreate that stuff, and it just blows my mind. Everything is just so
right.
The whole boom mic joke is my favorite thing in the whole movie because it is so tastefully done.
Absolutely
right.
So we're gonna start this now.
Right.
Two gentlemen with me have it on Blu-ray. And they're using that. I also, in all the links that I put in, gave you the link to OK.ru, and it's
the English OKRU.
Oh, you're
okay.
On that one.
Yeah, I'm using the OKRU. Yeah, I'm on the OKRU.
Yeah, okay. And so we're going to start this. What I'm going to do is count down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then say go, and we hit. The start at go. Okay, we ready? Okay, so everyone get ready. You can pause it right now if you need to get ready, but we're going to start right now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Am I ready? Hell yeah, I'm ready. I got my Anaconda malt liquor right here. I'm like,
you just give you.
Oh God, this is good. Actually, after the week that I've had, guys, I need this movie in my life right now. So this is a lifesaver.
Well, you know, there is another film called what's the one with this. I'll talk about it in a second. But starts with an anaconda. So So I have a slight problem here. Sean, is your OKRU still running?
Yes, it's running.
Okay, mine's not. So I'm going to catch up with you guys. Okay.
Okay.
So
having
an
internet hiccup over there, huh?
Yeah, I'm having an internet hiccup. So.
Oh God, dude! Even the graphics.
So
in
you
this
guys
thing
go
just...
right ahead.
Well, this is the first scene with his brother, so yeah, I didn't know what was going on right here at first when I first saw this movie. I didn't know what was going on.
Oh God, just his delivery. It's so good. Like, everything about this, no matter, like, yeah, they absolutely tried to recreate that low-budget look to it, but the finesse in which they did it, because at this point, could you imagine trying to get people together and making something like the fucking Human Tornado, and it just, people are too serious right now.
This is one of the greatest parts, because he's, like, almost acting like a theater actor, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where to be or not to be, like to be or not to be, that is the question.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
it's
so time check, guys. Give me a time check.
2:21.
Yeah, 2:23. Yeah, right now.
Oh, the classic, like, even down to the point of how his body reacts to the squibs going off and how off that timing
is.
As
soon as his dialogue started, I was like, okay, this is going to be something, because the way he was speaking, I was like, okay, he's a behaving like a classically trained actor.
Oh, I love it, man. I always loved Michael J. White, but I... Like, after seeing him in this, I'm like, why did he not get an Oscar for this? Like, seriously.
There's a definite Dolomite going on right now, guys.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
Dynamite! Dynamite!
Oh, this movie is brilliant.
It's gold, man. It's gold. Yeah.
And you're not even mentioning the clothes yet. Okay.
So it blows my mind that this is Scott Sanders has only done two movies. This and City of Thieves.
What it was. Yeah, Thieves, yeah.
Yeah.
It's also called Aztec God, which was never released.
Yeah,
that
never
movie
released.
Was
with Danny Trejo. Yeah.
No, with Danny Trejo and a good friend of mine, Luis Guzman.
Guzman. Oh, yeah. Luis, yeah. He played the lead role, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was never released.
It's coming out. It is. I mean, it's stuck in, like, post-production hell right now. It's probably going to be another couple of years, but it is coming. And with any luck, hopefully that also means that Black Dynamite 2 is going to be coming up pretty soon, which from what I hear is going to be more along the lines of Blazing Saddles. He said he was, like, going to take it Western. There's even a short for it. Have you guys seen that?
Oh yeah,
yes, I
think that's Black Dynamite. That's a different movie altogether, I think. That one, yeah.
Right.
That's a different yeah.
So
I think they're kind of
hinting it. Just knocks the old lady on the ground. I love it. Where is Nipsey?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Of course, you know, I always got to give him a shout out for being the first Spawn on screen, of course, too.
Of course, yeah. I can go on and on about Michael Jai White and what else he should have been cast in.
Well,
God, too many things to count.
Action, you know, he's a very fine action star in his own right, but he also really does this parody extremely well, and I've seen him in a couple other more comedic roles.
Yeah. Man, he should have been Deadshot in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I agree.
Smith.
Well, it's a few characters. I think he should have played in Marvel, but, you know,
Oh, man, so many roles he could have done there. I would buy him as
Kang
the Conqueror.
He was definitely not used a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kang the Conqueror, he could have been. Yeah, me, I would have cast him as Killmonger or War Machine myself, one of those two.
Ooh, you know, as much as, like, he would have slayed Killmonger, but yeah, I think I would have preferred to have seen him in War Machine
to have him there
more often.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I absolutely love Don Cheadle, but I just don't buy him as Randy Rhodes, man. I just don't.
So I'm saying, War Machine was my first choice for Michael Jai White. I was like, he should have played that role. And his voice, too, you know, how his voice sounds behind that suit would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The whole time, her cigarette is never lit.
Yeah.
Even when she takes a drag off of it, I love it.
She blows no air.
But it's
also
the reaction. See him standing up there? It's like so quick. And that was very, very reminiscent for me of Dolomite and things like that. And that range. This is, he even looks a bit like Rudy Ray Moore in this. Doesn't he?
Right. Slightly.
No,
he looks more like he looks like a mixer of him and Shaft, actually.
No,
yeah.
I think
his hairstyle
exactly
is more
what he was going for, because like
his hairstyle is more like Rudy Ray Moore, but his style is more like Shaft, so he's a little bit of both of them. Yeah.
Right. So you got this the whole persona that he's got, though, like he's a fucking pimp. Like he works in the streets, but he's also, so he literally is an amalgamation of Shaft and all characters that Rudy Ray Moore portrayed.
Because you
have that street essence of him, and then you have the flip side, which is all business badass. I love this scene, man. Just from every direction. He must have had so much fun doing this, man. Like,
you know he did, man. You know he'd often fun.
Who the hell is interrupting my kung fu?
And he has a little bit, like a tiny bit of Fred Williamson in him too. You know, a tiny.
Oh
bit
yeah,
of that.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, Fred Williamson, a fellow Pisces. Yeah.
But to me, this is so reminiscent of the Dolomite films. And that
yeah,
particular
more,
type.
Yeah, way more, yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you saw the Eddie Murphy film, the My Name is Dolomite. But
yeah,
they
I saw
had
it on
that.
Netflix, yeah.
I still haven't seen that.
But,
is it good?
Oh, it's magnificent. It's one of Eddie Murphy's best roles he ever did.
Yeah,
no
it
question.
Is. It is, yeah.
To see that down at the Alamo in Brooklyn. And
I'll add it to the list.
I like how you're talking to the lady. She kept talking. He just hung up on her. He was trying to hang the phone up. That was.
I'm 18-year-old Black Dynamite, and you're 15-year-old Jimmy. Oh, man. Okay, so I should warn you guys right now, there are a couple of times that you're going to hear me scream in this. I'm gonna try to pull my mic away when that happens. But, yeah, dude, there are these moments that I just can't help but to scream along with them.
No, that's like, no, don't worry about the
I'm going to prepare for those scenes.
What?
Every person that they cast in this was absolutely perfect for the role they played. Like, every single one of them. This might have been, like, the best casting job I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I think she starred in a few of those 70 blaxploitation, I think. I think I looked up her name one time. I forgot who she was, but she starred in a lot of stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. This is actually goes to John. How did you first see blaxploitation films, the 70s films? How did they come into your sight in that? How did that happen?
Oh, well, growing up back in the day, which was a Wednesday, by the way. And also, can I just point out the fact that the bear has a gun harness is still one of my favorite ongoing jokes of this. Oh, it's just so perfect. But I was in a punk band when I was growing up in the South, and we would get together like every Sunday, and it started out as us ordering pizza and watching The Simpsons every Sunday like clockwork. But eventually the seasons end, so you got to find something else to do. So we just started going on, like, movie kicks. We'd still hold the band tradition, you know, go practice on Sunday evening, order a pizza, watch something together. And one of these days, my drummer comes over with this just box full of, like, old VHSs and, like, bootleg DVDs and shit. And we just start shuffling through them. I'm like, I've never heard of any of this shit. Let's start watching it. Like, let's just throw something on. About a month and a half after that, we hit The Human Tornado. That was the first one that I saw. And at the end of it, we were just like, that was an absolute fucking disaster, and I want more of it. I want to see more of this. And so we searched the box, and every Rudy Ray Moore was in there. And so we burned through them all in like the span of a month. And then from there, like, that just kind of falls into, like, exploitation films in general of the 70s for me, which, you know, Sean, both you and I are huge fans of, not only from Grindhouse, but you got your sexploitation films, you got your boundary-pushing stuff from back in the day, and we love that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's so nice to hear that. For me, I'm older than both of you. I'm in my 60s, but the 70s were my decade, okay, of film. And I was in 1972, I was 14 years old, and I started, quote, my folks had owned a music store, but I also, one of our customers, ran the drive-in. So at 14 years old, I'm at the drive-in with boobs, babes, and guns. And monsters and everything, and I was and then we got HBO as a test market in 73. And then that's where I saw all the black exploitation. You know, and of course the films like Uptight and those type of films, I finally got to see a number of films. You know, Shaft and Superfly and all those, right? But also some of the real under the radar stuff, and it was just wonderful.
That's a good one. We should compile a list for people for this month. Like the exploitation films, but maybe we could break it up into to themes and share it on the ISF page. Like, let's do like. Our favorite black exploitation films, favorite black directors. Let's take advantage of that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do Slam. That's not why we're here tonight, though. We're here for Black Dynamite. But I just
this is very important.
I got to check out I've heard of it.
I'm sorry, John. I just wanted to say that this scene we're at right now with the music, there was always a music scene in these films, and you get the Delphonics or band, and I always love that. So okay, sorry, that's all I had to say.
Yeah, that's cool. but I guess
I
as far as me, go ahead.
No,
go ahead, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say my start as far as the black exploitation movies were around the same time, like in the 80s for me growing up. So in the late 80s, I think I was at a friend's house, and we always played the Nintendo, and all of a sudden his granddad was watching these movies, and I'm like, what in the world is this? So we started watching those movies, but I didn't really watch the whole movie, just bits and parts. And also me, my first movie was The Human Tornado, like you, my very first black exploitation movie was that. So some friends of mine had just sat down and watched it at his dad's house. And so my first movie was that one. And ever since then, I've seen a few off and on, over the years. So I've seen that one. And I think I saw Penitentiary was the next one, I think. Penitentiary Part 2, I think I saw that one first.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, I remember that one. Yeah.
Penitentiary 2 is the best one.
That was Ernie Hudson playing that role in there. You know, that was Ernie Hudson in Penitentiary 2. Then he became a Ghostbuster, but he was a perverted guy in Penitentiary.
Oh, man. Bullhorn. I love this guy.
He does some awesome voices. Like, he does some awesome voices, this guy right here. Oh, I forgot what his name was. But actually, I spoke to him on the phone, like, many, many years ago when I was trying to get my first Grindhouse movie off the ground.
Yeah. Byron Mins. Like, he
yeah,
Byron Mins, really have
yeah,
that much.
Byron Mins, yeah. Yeah, I got a couple of
questions. So I have a quick question. So have you ever seen a beard like that in your life other than this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see it again.
I have not.
I think I have. Yeah, I have seen. Yeah, it's been a long time ago. Long time.
Man, I saw at least one jackass in Natchez, Mississippi with those. But, yeah. There's always that one guy who takes their country too far. And on a black man, that looks all right. But you put that on a white man, you are a redneck, and we are going to have problems.
Okay.
Oh, God.
What's the love for Tommy Davidson? Seriously.
Yeah, Cream Corn, man. Cream Corn was something. I know they had that Black Dynamite cartoon.
Which I got to admit, like, of course it's not as good as this, but it was a lot of fun. It really was.
Yeah, you mean the cartoon?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah, No Swim. Yeah, that was.
It's pretty much like Black Dynamite on acid, but I'm here for it. Like, I really am.
Yeah. And the same actors did the voices. Yeah. Yeah, he was shot great, man. Yeah, he was shot, I love it. The way it was shot, yeah. Cinematography is dead on.
I know it. Everything is just perfect about this.
Yeah, not sure how many times I've seen this movie. It's one of those movies I've seen a lot of times. So, especially one of the most modern-day movies I've seen more than any other.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, like I'm you know, I'm not really a comedy guy. It takes a lot for me to even get into a groove of it. But even like 20 minutes into this, I'm like, this is way more than a comedy. You know, there's so much going on here.
I didn't even see it as comedy when I first. I just knew it was gonna be some badass martial arts in it too.
Any idea? Like, all right, so Sean, you as a filmmaker, know. Do you know how hard they had to try to make this look bad?
Yeah, they're like basically like playing actors that's doing the movie, but they're actors playing actors that's messing the scene up with the mic. So, so they're acting like twice, really. Like they're doing constant acting. Yeah, so that makes it even more a masterpiece.
It really is. I would love to like talk to this crew, like Michael and Scott, since this all essentially happened because of them. But I would love to do like, oh man,
I'm sorry, there's a guy right here looks like a Cuba Gooding Jr. a little bit. The guy in the red hat, like Cuba Gooding Jr. a little bit.
He does.
But the one thing that I want to put into the conversation here is that Scott Sanders, the director, and Michael Shea White, the writer, they knew these type of films. They knew the Dolomite films. They knew everything. So this is like a real loving tribute. And so they could see the badness of the films, but they loved it. And you can see the love in this film. Seriously. That is awesome.
Right.
I love it. Oh, here we go.
It was definitely a classic, an instant classic. Yeah.
He kicks the damn light out.
Now, the only
thing. Of course,
Jay White
is not anyone that sees that when he's doing, you know, martial arts. He knows what he's doing.
I was about to say the only difference between him and Rudy Ray Moore is he knows the actual martial arts, and he hits his target.
Oh, God, I love it, the nunchuck thing. Like, the whole time, watch his eyes.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, it's just so brilliant.
So a double comes in, right? You just walk right beside him. It's like,
the vocal stuff in that is so much Rudy Ray.
Is this part where he slaps the guy? Like he.
Yep.
Like, he has another guy come in who's lighter a little bit.
Motherfucker. Oh, man.
This is actual footage. Like, all that footage they shot on the highway is just from 70s movies. They cut into it.
Right, yeah, they did the blue screen bit, yeah.
Yeah, like right here, yeah, that's the, I think that's the actual footage they used from stuff unused from the 70s, right here.
Like stock footage stuff, yeah.
Yeah, right here, right here. Yeah, those scenes.
I love that thing. He's driving and he's not even looking.
Because I'm pretty sure those aren't even the same cars that they got into. I'm going to have to go back
not.
And okay, yeah,
see,
yeah.
The car on the cliff is a totally different car on the cliff.
I love that the car explodes, like, before it even hits anything. Just as soon as it drives off, it just, boom.
This fella right here playing a few things, too, here, the Italian mobster.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's pretty much done a guest spot on any and every mob-based show. I am in love with her. Oh, man.
Yeah, Sally Richardson came a long way. Yeah, I've seen her, especially back in, like, Honey's Urban movies and stuff, too.
Yeah.
She was in Posse, you know, a few more movies.
Okay, so one thing I want to point out right now is you got to give the costume designer and the costume person some love here because the 70s look.
It was top-notch. I was watching behind the scenes about the wardrobe and the costume designer when this first came out.
I'm doing a skim on it right now, and I can't find out who the actual costume designer was. Let me look on IMDb here really quick. But, yeah, they went overboard. A lot of it has to do with Michael, though. Like, him going to, like, he – have you guys watched the documentary on this?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I did.
Okay, I'll post it just for gits and shiggles, but the whole conversation when he's going like, I just had this daydream, so I decided I was going to go pick up a bunch of 70s stuff, and I took some pictures and I showed it to my friend. I'm like, we're going to do this, and he said okay, and then 30 days later, I'm getting calls from studios saying, we're in. The look of this is just it's. Slick as hell.
Oh, absolutely.
I am smiling. The I am smiling bit just, it kills me.
I think this is the scene where the guy reads, he reads the action scene. He doesn't read He reads his line plus the action. Right there. And he was confused, like, wait a minute, you just read this. That's why he made that face.
Okay,
the
costume designed by Ruth. Okay, so give me a second here. Costume designed by Ruth
Carter.
And then the production design is by Denise Bazzini. And set decoration by Antonio Nunez. They absolutely nail this. They nail it.
So interesting. She worked on Black Panther. She worked on Dolomite Is My Name.
I knew it. Okay,
and
I
she worked on Malcolm X, Amistad, Coming to America, man. Oh, wait, no, the sequel, not the original. Never mind. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I
she
figured that was
skill.
The person that did Black Panther and some more stuff here. Yeah.
Impressive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
I think I said that a couple times. I think this guy right here speaking, right, I think his name is Phil Morris. I'm not sure, but he does a lot of voiceover work on cartoons. This guy right here,
yeah. And he actually looks a lot like Bernie Casey, too.
Yeah, he does.
He's not. He has that Bernie Casey thing going. So if you guys had a favorite blaxploitation actor back in the day in the 70s, who would it be?
I mentioned mine. I guess not really, didn't say that he's my favorite, but Fred Williamson, he's definitely mine.
I know it's cliche, but I gotta go with Rudy Ray Moore, man. Like it's he was my introduction to all of this, and he provided me with hours and hours of entertainment that were his films the best? No, but they were. I don't know. Like I'm a real sucker for the origins of a trend, I guess, you know. But it's
right.
I really gotta stick with that. So Rudy Ray Moore is my go-to.
Yeah.
Okay. For
you gotta watch that movie for sure, man. That movie you gotta watch with Eddie Murphy that played him. You gotta.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Dolemite is my movie. You gotta watch that.
I'm gonna give myself a break this weekend. I'm gonna watch it then. But Sean, you and I are Carl, you too. We're obviously gonna have to revisit Human Tornado somewhere down the road, especially since.
Yeah.
Sean, I think you and I will have plenty to say about it. So.
I haven't been saying much because you guys have been going crazy. But I'll let you know my favorite. Of course, I grew up with Shaft and all the major ones. But I was always had a great love for Ron O'Neill, who I think was underused. Ron O'Neill had the main role in Superfly. But he also did smaller stuff, too. Never was in the Fred Williamson or Richard Roundtree end of it, but man, he was good. I was also a big fan of Max Julian, who just passed away not too long ago, and the Max. Loved that. By the way, the soundtrack is so damn good in this too.
Yeah, what's his name? Adrian. Hang on a second. The composer for the film, Adrian Young. Dude, this soundtrack is like it is fire the whole way. I threw this on one of my last road trips, and just like it's one of those that you just let it play through. It's like it's.
Right.
You can tell that whoever did all of this really, really loves Curtis Mayfield, and I'm here for it. I love it.
Yeah, they showed him all behind the scenes, too, on the DVD. I remember watching him talk about the music.
Yeah. He took it to heart, man. Like, it is truly authentic, and, like, he used vintage gear for it all, too.
Oh, this is cool.
Okay.
This chick to me always looked like Gabrielle Union. To me, she looks like a Gabby.
And are those biceps real? Seriously, are those biceps real?
Right.
That's him, man. That's him all day. That's Michael John White.
Hey, man, you sent her in here with the titties.
Yeah.
So
I have mine on silent, so.
What was that?
So I have my movie on mute, though, so I don't want to turn that to, I don't want to interrupt the, you know, the flow of anything.
Right. I have it down very low, so if it's not bleeding,
I turned up,
so
turned up a little bit. Yeah, but.
He's such a sucker.
About all these women, of course, that's such a Rudy Ray Moore thing. You got to remember,
right.
Rudy was a comedian too, and he put out all these albums with these salacious covers. So, if you had a favorite Rudy Ray Moore film, what would it be?
I think the answer is obvious. We already nailed it, man.
Okay, Human Tornado. Have you ever seen Petey Wheatstraw?
Actually, no, I don't think
I haven't
seen
that
one
yet.
I've seen that one.
I was about to watch it, but I couldn't really get through it. I mean, I had to give it a shot.
Let me tell you something. Petey Wheatstraw is Rudy Ray Moore's gold. It's fucking gold. It seriously is. Best film he ever did, by far. So if you have not seen it, John, you got to see Petey Wheatstraw, The Devil's Son-in-Law.
Yeah, man, I'm on it. I'm looking at it right now. I don't know how that one slipped under my radar. I think second for me has got to be the original Dolomite.
Oh yeah.
Beyond that, I would
I think I did enjoy it because I saw the Human Tornado first, but once I saw the first one, I think that one was pretty good to me. I mean, I think it had they all had their issues, movies, but that first one was probably mine too that I enjoyed.
The first one, honestly, it really is better, but I think it's because of the sentimental value that I hold towards Human Tornado that's always going to reign number one. Like it, I got a lot of good memories surrounding that film, the times that I spent with my friends during that whole film experience and hanging out on Sundays. That one has a very special place in my heart.
I think that's
at least once a year.
Because everybody talks about the Human Tornado. That's probably most people's first Rudy Ray Moore movie.
It wasn't as good, but it just got better coverage, I think. It was able to hit a wider audience.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, too, is when you watch a film, it is about when you watch it, who you watch it with, and what the initial experience was. For me, I can talk about my experience at the drive-in, and there was one particular drive-in, and it was like the second or third weekend I was there, where it was Blood Feast, 2000 Maniacs, and Blood Freak. And Blood Freak was the first movie, and I was stoned off my ass at 14 years old, eating great food, and saw the only pro-Christian, anti-drug, mutated turkey monster movie in existence, and it was wondrous. It was awful, and it's in my top 10 movies of all time.
Are you going to send this to me? Because I have never seen this. I have never seen this, and this sounds absolutely insane, and I have to see this. So you got to send me a link.
Oh, it's on YouTube. By the way, it's the only movie wherein the narrator is lecturing the audience on how bad drugs are while he's chain smoking and going into a coughing fit. And I'm not joking.
All right. Okay, so back to the movie really quick.
This?
I want everybody to pay attention to this. And remember, never trust a pastry. You see what happens? You see what happens when you trust a pastry? Yeah, don't trust the pastry. And always.
Now, this part right here where the guy's moving, but the car keeps moving, that was done by accident. That was a mistake. That was a mistake that actually worked for a set.
Oh, that was an accident?
Yeah, that was an accident for real. When the car kept going, he had to stop it, but he didn't know. But that wasn't a part of the film at all.
Never trust a pastry with alligator shoes. If I learn nothing else for the rest of this year, that is all I have to say. Never trust a walking pastry if it's got alligator shoes.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, wait. I love this bit.
Yeah. Oh, here's the, oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of those moments.
Trying to go off all the way, his eyes, he's like, oh, man, he looks. I mean, I hate it when I say something to a person. Anyway, that's what I'm about to say, you know. Say something all cool and great, and they fuck you up when you.
Here we go. Before I shut the fuck up, I know that was you. I ain't even got to look. How about I send your ass back to Prince Sean Pete with his hot ass coat hanging? Bitch, would you like that? Yeah.
Yeah, that look was like,
oh my God, it's so good.
I think we all have that feeling when you're about to say something so cool when somebody comes in like, be cool, like, shut up, like.
Oh God, seriously, like, his ability as a comedic actor is absolutely insane. He's got to
do
more.
Right.
I really.
Yeah,
so good.
And of course, here we have
Arsenio Hall.
There's so many people that I've seen. Like, it's probably some names y'all probably don't know, but I see a lot of faces I know. Besides,
oh yeah,
Arsenio, absolutely. Guys in here too. I think Brian McKnight is in this too. The singer Brian McKnight.
Yeah, he is.
More people. And that's Bokeem Woodbine, the other guy. This fella right here, he does a lot of voices on that cartoon that was Boondocks. He does voices on there.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Of course, this is Miguel Nunez right here. He does all the horror movies back in the 80s with the Jerry Curl. Right here. When Jason killed him in that Friday the 13th movie. The guy that was on the toilet, they got killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Miguel Nunez has been doing it for a long time.
Okay, set decoration. That friggin' king.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything. I mean, come on. Look at the trinkets.
Yeah, they,
on the,
I know they found
classic.
A few houses that was already like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The glass bottles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everything is just spot on, yeah.
I don't understand why Arsenio Hall didn't do, oh God, fucking Captain Kangaroo. I forgot all about that.
Kangaroo, yeah.
Yeah. I was always a little disappointed that Arsenio Hall didn't do more acting roles. Like, I'm not necessarily sure that, I mean, he might have the potential to be like a leading role, but the roles that he has played for the most part have been like secondary or like sidekick characters, and he's brilliant
at it.
Sidekick
characters,
like,
yeah.
He's
had his own show for a while.
Actor.
Yeah.
But like,
well, Arsenio did pretty well for him.
To the community.
Yeah.
I can't dig it.
I'll do what I want to do.
So here's a question for you guys. If you take a look at any other blaxploitation spoof, is there another one you would recommend or not?
Is there any more spoofs? I don't know if there's any more spoofs, really.
Trust me.
I guess
in the South Country, drinking juice in the hood is one.
That's more of a
Undercover Brother.
More of a like a '90s, like a '90s spoof of '90s movies from the like '90s urban movies.
It's
more of a spoof of that.
Right. Right. I love Undercover Brother, which you mentioned.
Yeah.
But what was the one with? Undercover Brother is great. Eddie Griffin.
Yeah.
But the other one too is the Keenan Ivor Wayans one. I can't remember the name of it right.
Trying to remember. Yeah, but I think Blaxploitation, the only one I can think of is the Undercover Brother. The other ones were
the Wayans. The Wayans did the spoof off of like the '90s gang culture. The don't be a menace to South Central while
drinking.
They
did another one too.
That was a scary movie. They did that in the scary movie stuff. Yeah, they did the scary movie and they did the urban spoof.
Is there another one you're thinking of, Carl, that we're missing here?
Yes, and I'm going to look for it here.
All right, let us know when you find it. I'd be curious.
Okay, hold on.
Trying to wonder. I know it's two for sure. The horror, the scary movie and the urban movies of the 90s.
It's the exact same footage
they
used earlier.
They were used same footage.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
That was the first one he did. Yeah. That was.
Holy shit. How did I forget that?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that was. Yeah, Keenan by his. Yeah, Keenan, oh, for sure.
Oh, man. I forgot all about that. Oh. Oh God!
I need
my list. I gotta write that. No, I'm writing that shit down right now.
You do that a lot when you're doing a show with me. You write a lot of shit down.
Yeah, no kidding. Really, you don't say. Yeah,
I'm trying to wonder. I haven't seen that movie yet.
John,
you're
gonna get to know Carl a little bit more here as the month progresses. Okay. Let me tell you, just like keep a pen and a piece of paper around because this guy. If you think you and I are encyclopedias of film, no, he's both of us put together plus some. Yeah.
I think that movie was, I haven't seen it in a long time. I think that was based in the 80s culture, too, I think. I'm not sure if it was 70s. I think it was like a little bit of 70s in there, though, yeah.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
It was definitely 70s spoof. There's no question about it.
Right.
Same themes, but I think taking place in a more modern time, like when it came out,
right.
Which I want to say was like
early
80s.
In the 80s, right. They had like all of the gold chains, and you know, see where it got with all the gold chains that died.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
I think he had some classic characters in that one too from the 70s. Yeah.
The lovey-dovey montage. You gotta love it.
Yeah,
absolutely. With that awful music, it's beautiful.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it is. Smooth operator. You can give it to the street. Can you dig it? I don't care. See, is he thinking the whole time? I'm like, hey, man, he's already getting women. So you are just
so. Has anyone done a count on how many women he beds in this movie and how many titties are shown?
Seriously.
I haven't, but she's not going to show hers, not at all. She definitely said she wasn't going to do that, so they cut right to
yeah.
Yeah, because she said in the behind the scenes that she didn't want to do it like the other girls.
But I love this sequence.
I think it's just four girls. I think it's just four girls. Four girls told her that does the breast like the
no.
First four, like those first three girls in the beginning. The nurse.
No, there's four. There's four in the beginning.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yes, said like the first
so
three girls
four in the beginning, and then her. Yeah.
The nurse. And I think that's all he does. Oh, man, that bedroom was badass, dude.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is this the conspiracy theory moment?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, God. All right. I'm going to lose my shit here because this is one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. If this actually I might be wrong. Actually, it's been a couple of years since I've seen this. So, well, no, it's been 9 months. But
yeah,
I haven't
this far. I think this is a smaller scene.
Anaconda malt liquor gives you Little Richard.
Yeah, that's later. Like, yeah, I think that's in the actual diner. They talk about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if the daughter sees. That's him.
There's maybe only like two or three shots in this movie that look like they were
filmed. That was bad. That was cool.
In modern time, and one of the standout shots is when that one kid with the huge fro who pops his head up after the vans are rolling by.
Right.
That shot was like incredibly clean and looked like digitized compared to the rest of the film, if that makes any sense. That's one of the only flaws that I've seen in the visual production of this film is.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I wasn't big on that either.
Yeah,
I remember that.
There's only two scenes in this whole movie that look too clean, if you know what I mean, right?
Right.
Over and over. The true serum.
Man, if only it really worked like that.
I was.
I can think of a few people.
You won't be such big anymore. Get too much.
Going on too long. The other one is how many people get killed in this movie?
A lot. I start counting next. I got to count next time. He's already going to start drinking it a little bit. He's already.
So either of you ever drink Colt 45?
Colt 45?
What was
that?
Yeah.
What
either
about
of you
45?
Ever drink Colt 45?
No.
No, I haven't. I know of it. I just
no,
never
I,
had it.
I did
always
back
saw
in the day.
It.
I did back in the day. It wasn't bad. Got the job done.
Yeah, I always saw
it
in the cooler.
It's definitely stereotypical, but like, I think the only malt liquor that I ever really went for was Mickey's.
Malt liquor, finally.
Yeah. Mickey's, man. Like, oh, God.
Mickey's,
I can't tell you
how many... I think I've hit that.
I cannot tell you how many shifts I got off at work, and you're talking about a whole bunch of angry Irishmen in a kitchen after being, you know, ridden like Seabiscuit for 12 hours straight. It was kind of like, hey, you want to go to the bar? Hey, you want to go out? He's like, nah, I think I'm just going to go grab a 12-pack of Mickey's. I'm going to be over here pissing myself. Y'all have a good night.
I think this is your scene, John.
Oh, here we go. Well, no, that's one of them.
No, I think this is your scene right here, the one where they talk about the...
Yep.
Yeah, this is it.
Put down the middle twice. Bologna. Fry that up. I am disappointed that there was not more cream corn in this movie, to be honest.
Yeah, really. But God, how wonderful is that, though?
So Mins is the guy who plays Bullhorn, right?
Right.
Yeah. Byron Mins. Yeah.
What else has he done?
He did some movies in the '90s, I think. I forgot what did he do in the '90s. Like a couple things. He didn't really do a lot.
Driving nuts.
Now who are we talking about here? Give me the name again.
Byron Mins, the guy who plays Bullhorn.
Okay.
Oh my. Yeah, he was in Jacob's Ladder. But yeah, yes, this is the scene. Here we go.
Yeah.
Aries. So as the resident guy who's into all of that weird esoteric crap, like this whole scene cracks me up to no end because this is the type of crap that starts real conspiracy theories.
Topeka, Kansas.
785.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It just keeps going and going.
Right. And they just add in stuff just to...
This is how I feel when I start like peering down the void of QAnon tunnels. Like, wow. Oh God.
Just remember, John Kennedy Jr. is going to show up, and he's going to be for Trump.
Oh, no,
he's
going to
show up
like 7 months ago, and guess what? He didn't show up. Yeah, okay, no, we're not descending into that madness on this show, no.
Dynamite night.
Absolutely, that's a whole other four-hour conversation. And what is the slogan of Anaconda Malt Liquor? Anaconda Malt Liquor gives you...
Little Richard. It was another word for Little Richard. Gives you little. What's another word for Little Richard? Gotta smoke.
Oh, no. Oh, God, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Gives you little.
What the hell? Oh, God.
Do you want to live? That is brilliant. I love it.
That was a genius. That made me even more genius. All that.
Everything about this movie, though, it's just pure gold.
Yeah. Right. You want to call it gold, platinum, whatever you want to call it, it's way up there.
Yeah, like whatever, you know, even the best example I can think of, Sean, you actually brought it up earlier when you were telling me that the whole car mishap when the car kept going and the gunman popped out.
Yeah.
You told me that was a mistake, so even the mistake just played into the perfection of what they were trying to
do. Exactly. That's what I was saying. Even the mistake was, like, just right. They mentioned that on Behind the Scenes, how, like, what?
I know that they're trying to I know that they're planning on doing like an extension of that whole Western bit, which was, you know, kind of leads me to think that maybe they're not necessarily like really doing a series, but they're doing like a thematic series. So they played off of Blaxploitation. Now they're gonna play off of it kind of looks
Western.
Like they're just going to Western setting, definitely lifting from Blazing Saddles, but also I think using similar, like, they're going to end up using similar tropes and tricks that were done for that time era, which would have been closer to the 80s. Yeah.
Like for the Western stuff too, though, like the Western, he's supposed to have shot that project now, but it's not. It's like a different project outside of Black Dynamite. Mm-hmm. He raised some money on that site, not Kickstarter, but the Indiegogo. And he raised some money through a producer.
It totally is Black Dynamite, though. It's just in a cowboy hat.
You know what? I think it's supposed to be out, but I just haven't seen it. It's called on the Outlaw Johnny Black. That's what it's called.
The only thing that's out there is just that one promo video that they shot, which, you know, they're hoping to take to full film. But the one thing that I'll say is, like, even if it's not a direct sequel, even if it's just like a, you know, quote unquote spiritual sequel or whatever, these two are a powerhouse. Like, Michael and Scott together, this is a truly fascinating combination, and I want to see more from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh wait, obligatory Mandarin bearded villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so typical for the time frame, of course. It plays off all the tropes. It really does.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mentioned this earlier, but Sanders did Aztec King with Luis Guzman.
Yeah.
But it's, so he's doing luchador films, he's doing westerns, he's doing genres as parodies, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
That Aztec Warrior is still coming out. It's just... I don't know. The film is done. We're just kind of waiting on somebody to buy it and distribute it, I guess.
Here we go. Richard Edson, okay, who was in a bunch of Hal Hartley films.
Oh, really?
Yellowface, but yeah, that's Richard Edson.
Okay. Got to watch out for that Kung Fu treachery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Are you pissed off now?
Like, horribly disappointing. It really was, because Bullhorn was one of my favorite characters in this old movie.
Yeah.
The whole fight scene in the pool hall when it switched actors, I absolutely lost my shit, guys. Like, I was on the floor laughing like I just ate way too many mushrooms, and it was I just could not even I could not stop. It was just too much. Hands down, the funniest thing that I'd ever seen in my life up to that point. One of, at least.
It's a dance-off! And this is sub-dialing choreograph. That's why they have a white actor doing it.
Who's that? Doing what part?
There's a little Enter the Dragon type of thing going on here.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, nothing is complete without a solid eye gouging scene, guys. Like let's be honest about it. Like, it's kind of a prerequisite in any and all films that I watch, and without one, I am left feeling unfulfilled. It's like cheddar. Everything's better with eye gouging. Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're doing romantic comedies, that's probably not going to.
But if there's a romantic comedy with eye gouging, it just makes it better.
Makes it a gothic. Yeah, a goth romantic comedy. Certainly better than that Twilight shit. Jesus.
Oh, boy.
I've never seen any of those movies.
On Valentine's Day, we have to have the right
strange romantic comedy for Valentine's Day. And actually, we have that covered.
Harold and Maude.
Harold and Maude is wonderful, but that's not the choice we're going to do. We're going to do a film called Made in Heaven. Made in Heaven. Alan Rudolph, very unusual film.
Oh,
I will just say this.
Oh, wait, guy on fire.
No, never mind. I'll shut up now.
Oh, no, we should talk about that at the end of this because we're almost there. But the catching of the hairpin, I will never have reflexes that good.
No.
Michael J. White does, so.
Okay, this is beautiful. Okay, this whole ending and how it all comes in is just fucking great.
So, Sean, I missed it earlier, but the other one that I was going to, like, chime into screaming at the top of my lungs, but I didn't because we were talking, was I threw that shit before I even walked into the room.
Yeah, I was going to say something, too, like that. Yeah, I like that scene, too.
Green corn! No! Oh, God. I love it so much. Like, Carl, you know me. I grew up on Monty Python type of shit. No, this is it for me, man. This is my 100% sick day movie. Anytime I'm feeling like shit, I'm gonna make grilled cheese tomato soup and I'm gonna watch Black Dynamite, and that's how I'm gonna make it through life.
Nothing wrong with that, John. Okay. Nothing wrong with that at all.
It definitely one of those movies, man. Yeah, you have to. I've watched it numerous times when I was just chilling.
Why isn't there a director's cut?
Yeah,
hopefully this was a director's cut. That's the original suit. So the original random photos
to get
that he did.
Yeah, to get money for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I should have known you are the man so weak, so cruel. Sir, Max to the horse, kill my brother Jimmy, put out a drug to bring him back. One man, that's you.
Tricky Dickie.
Okay, Tricky Dick Nixon behind everything is perfect. Okay, it's just fucking perfect.
This actor was just right. Perfect.
Hey, I got to tell you, after seeing Colin Farrell in the Penguin makeup for the new Batman movie, I think he would have made a better Nixon.
Yeah.
You seen that thing, man? Oh, God.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's like a caricature of, Nixon with nunchucks.
Oh shit.
Oh, I just remember how this ends.
Yeah.
First Lady, I'm sorry I had to pimp slap the hell out of you.
And the actor actually looks a bit like Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The actor, yeah.
They did a pretty good job. Luckily, he doesn't have his nose.
No.
Yeah. And that chick right there was from that show on Mad TV. I think it was Nicole Sullivan, I think. I'm not sure.
I love that one. I forgot about Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, somebody needed to beat the hell out of Nixon.
Damn, really?
But honestly, I can't think of a single American president who doesn't deserve that one form or another, you know.
Well, there's always Harry Truman.
Buddy, that's going into alien conspiracy territory. You don't want to start that right now. I can promise you that.
Okay. We'll get to that later.
which I don't buy into, but it's a whole lot of fun to talk about. The Truman Treaty. Whatever. Yeah, so Carl, I think we were kind of ranting about this. Hang on. One of my favorite bits. I'm sorry I pimp slapped you into that china cabinet.
It's okay. It's okay. You can laugh and cackle. That's exactly what this movie is for.
Right.
You're just so
right. Like I was saying earlier, that's the girl from Mad TV. That's what you see, Mad TV.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Delivering ass whooping. And that, my dear friends, is a definite nod to one of Rudy Ray Moore's record album.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Boom, right there. Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, awesome. The animation was so cool at the end, too. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, absolutely. I love that you bring that up. Sean, because whenever I heard that there was going to be an animated Black Dynamite series, I was really, really hoping that this is what we were going to get, like the animation that we were getting in this series. And
right.
Even though
yeah,
I appreciate
like
that,
yeah.
Even though they took on the animation or like the anime type of look to it, which it still turned out great. It was a hoot, but I honestly, I would have loved it just a little bit more if it was just a little bit more old school, you know?
Yeah, like this right here, like more like this. Or...
Yeah. They took so much time making sure that the film looked old school. I was kind of hoping that
right.
they were going to take the same approach with the animation, like the really, really like dense and layered, but still, you know,
yeah, I would have preferred that
animation,
yeah,
Scooby Doo type of shit. You know,
oh, wait, that'd be awesome, man! Like a Scooby Doo. Yeah, man. Speaking of Scooby Doo, you know it's a show like that, but it has a Mike Tyson. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it.
Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Like the same
yeah.
It's
so good.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah, it's absolutely bananas, but I love every minute of it. It's a hoot. Well, Carl, thank
yeah,
you so man. Much for hosting this. I'm sorry that like Sean and I just kind of rambled on throughout the entirety of this because we might
okay.
be unhealthy.
Yeah, I think we all hit our little
space. It, but
that makes my job easy. Hey, so I got no problem with that, guys. None whatsoever.
So what are your final thoughts on it?
Oh, come on. I love this. I just let you two talk about it, basically. I gave a couple questions and that sort of thing. But it's a wonderful, wonderful nod to what I said at the beginning, a great B and great C blaxploitation. And it's a particular nod to Rudy. You know, I mean,
right.
Rudy Ray Moore's DNA is all over this film more than anything else. And that, to me, particularly at that time, was nice to see a real nod to Rudy. Because I've always loved Rudy's films.
Right.
And people had forgotten about him in a lot of ways when this movie came out.
Yeah.
Undercover Brother was not that. Undercover Brother was more a list with Jim Kelly and so on and so forth. This was really Rudy Ray's little nod to Rudy Ray and those films like Human Tornado and Dolomite and Peter Wheatstraw. And it's
a
wonderful
had more influence on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a number of films that we're going to do. Now, Sean talked about The Spook Who Sat by the Door, which I have no problem doing. I love that film. What two films are you thinking of? You mentioned this one, and you have another one, too, that you want to see.
One in mind, and I also had it's called Slaughter. I was thinking about that one.
Slaughter with Jim Brown.
Yeah, Slaughter.
Jim Brown.
I think about that one or
they had two
yeah,
of them.
Jim Brown.
Slaughter,
yeah.
Slaughter,
that one or
Spook. Yeah.
That one or what? What was the other one you said?
Spook Who Sat by the Door.
No, what was the other one?
That one. The other one. Oh. Yeah, Slaughter. Yeah, Slaughter is the other one.
Okay.
You get that?
Yeah, got it.
Okay,
and
John, you have one more you want to see too, right? That you want on this on our commentary watches. What was the other one?
Yeah.
Spun, was it?
Slam.
Slam.
Slam is a. Even though it was made in 99, I think it's kind of relevant to what we're seeing going on in the prison system in America and how all that stuff works and how corrupt and messed up it is. So Slam kind of approaches that, but it also folds it up into a really powerful, moving and intense story of redemption. And a whole hell of a lot of good poetry, and I mean, really good stuff. It's amazing. It's one of the most moving films that I've ever seen in my life, and I appreciate you letting me being able to share that one with the masses.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to watch that movie because I heard about it over the years. I just never seen it.
I
definitely know of it, though.
Find some way to get you a link to that. Before the showing, because you should check it out beforehand. Like,
I'm gonna look
Sean,
it up.
Do you listen to Saul Williams at all? Or does the name ring a bell? Saul Williams.
It does ring a bell. Who is that? I know who it is. the tip of my tongue. Who is it?
Writer, actor, director, musician, the list goes on. We'll talk about it later. I don't want to take up too much time.
Well, I think he did Slam. Yeah, Carl, appreciate you having me on your show, man.
Okay, so we're not done yet because in our series of films, I haven't picked one yet, and I'm looking at two. These are lesser known. One is available on Tubi with ads, and I'm trying to find it without ads. I'm wondering if either of you have ever heard of or seen Top of the Heap.
I've heard about it.
No, I've heard of it, but it's on my list. It's actually on my list on Tubi Action. I just haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
So heard of it.
And if I can't find that one, then I want to do Welcome Home, Brother Charles, otherwise known as Soul Vengeance. Do you know that one?
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen...
Okay, never mind.
I've seen parts of it. I don't think I've seen the whole movie, though.
Okay. John, if we do Welcome Home, Brother Charles, you might want to strap in. I'm just saying.
If Well, if you're telling me that, then I need to see it beforehand. So let's work on that then.
I may have to, too, because I don't think I see the whole movie. I think I see parts of it. But I'll definitely look into it.
Well,
all right.
Okay.
Hey, Sean, I'm looking at just a brief overview here. Look, I ain't scared, but let's watch it, and then we'll talk about it, yeah? Okay, let's do that. That's wow, man. Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
Kind of like
I
spit
really
on your grave, but reversed.
Yeah. It's rather something.
All right.
But right now, I want to thank both of you for being on. Sean, before you go, please give us, where we can see your films and website, anything like that that you have to promote. Please do it now.
Yeah, man. Please.
Oh, yes. Thanks very much. My first movie is called Toxic America. It's on Vimeo. So you can check it out on there under my company, Channel 7 Video. So that's my first movie. It's like a short movie, like 30 minutes. So that's my main movie so far on there.
Okay, good.
And
good.
You can also
look
me up also on YouTube under my company, Channel 7 Video. There's movies on there too, a few little clips and teasers. And you can get me on there and also Twitter at Channel 7 Video and also at Instagram, Channel 7 Video.
So the Channel 7 thing, that's moving forward, that's kind of going to be like, that's your stamp, right? That's what we should look
for. Yeah, and it's spelled out channel, but the letter 7 and then video.
Okay. Well,
a number 7 and video.
Well, for anyone who's listening, you all know how this works for me. I'll be plugging both of these incredibly crazy, but my kind of crazy individuals here in the next couple of days. So, follow me and we'll connect. This is all about building community. Carl, thank you so much for having us, man. Always a freaking boot, man.
Oh, absolutely, John. Absolutely. And you're both welcome back, and I'm glad we're doing this series. One thing I do want to do before we go off the air is that on Deviant Legion, our next show on Deviant Legion will be on Saturday, and that is going to be our first down the rabbit hole with Rachel, and we're focusing specifically on black music, and we're doing basically, since we're close to we do this every 2 weeks, so Valentine's Day will be there, and we're doing black-themed love songs and by black artists. Both male and female, ranging from the 30s and 40s upwards to the 2000s and 2020s. So we do those every 2 weeks, and so we're doing that. We have another one planned at the end of the month, and we've got so many more watches and that sort of thing. We'll be getting that all set up. We're planning to do Tuesdays now for the rest of the month for this series, correct? John?
Yes. Sounds good with me.
Okay, so we're gonna pin that down for solid. We'll carry this conversation offline here in a moment, but we'll pin that down. As you know, I have some things going on that might kind of ping me back and forth between Mondays and Tuesdays. We'll figure that out. We'll get a schedule out for everybody, and then we'll move forward and honestly, you can kind of expect like a streamline through that once we get to March, because Carl and I do have some other things up our respective sleeves that do coincide. So we'll be announcing those a little bit later. But here's to everybody learning the chaos of your 2022 calendar. Love y'all.
Good God. I got so much to put in. I can tell you this, we're going to be having
Trent Harris, who did Ruben and Ed on. He's going to be talking about Howard Hesseman. I'm waiting for that. Joe Badon is going to be back on again. We've got Kean Walker, who is an actor and also the duck master at Peabody Hotel in Memphis. He'll be on. We have Robert Walker Jr., who did a short film. He's a friend of the podcast called Sketchy.
Really?
And he is going to be on, and we're going to be talking about black-themed TV and films that are non-stereotypical. So no Black Dynamite, unfortunately. We have many, many things planned and so much going on, and I don't have it all set up in stone yet, but we will by the end of the week, at least for the next couple of weeks. So our next planned show is on Saturday, and I'm also going to be guesting on a show on Thursday night, too, on another network, KSDAD, with my former partner, Stephen Ronquillo. So you can come that, and you can check out all our shows on Blog Talk and on the Deviant Legion page.
Can you clarify that a little bit? Because we have one show happening here that is going to be happening weekly throughout the course of the month. But you have other shows, so when are those other shows airing? Just so that
right now they're not set up in stone yet, so I can't say.
Okay,
I'm just saying
I've got
confirmation we're going to be doing them, but we haven't set up the dates yet. So that's what we're doing. So anyway, we're going to have the return of a very good friend who was a former podcaster here, and he's going to be joining us for the month of February, and that's Limes Marshall, and we're very happy to have Limes back. But I'm telling you, we could be doing five shows a week this month. It's very possible. That's how booked we are. We just don't have it all set up in stone. I wish I could get it a little more, less jello and more, stone, but it's not there yet. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. And again, John and Sean, it was a pleasure. We will have a show next week.
Yep.
Do you want to make a decision on what film you want to do right now?
I can probably get back to you about it. It's one of those two movies,
okay,
for sure.
Okay, so we'll do that for next week. Is that Monday for you next week, Sean?
Monday
or is that Tuesday? Okay. What about you, John?
I think Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday is good.
Okay.
Next week I can do either Monday or Tuesday, but I will be busy on 2/14. Ha ha ha.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so let's do it. Let's do it for Tuesday next week. Okay, so a week from today, and the movie to be announced.
All right, sounds good.
All right. So thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, I think it works for Sean, right?
Yeah.
Sean, right. That works for you.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Good for me. Yeah. Thanks very much.
All right.
Mara.
So we're going to say good night, and thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday for another film in the celebration of Black History Month, and here we go. Let's all say good night.
All right,
good night.
Good
all,
night
right.
All right. Take care now.
All right. Thanks,
bye,
guys. Take care.